Good morning. Welcome to worship this day. We're glad that you're here. I want to draw your attention to several announcements that are in the bulletin. Confirmation class starts next week, so if you've got those sixth and seventh graders, be sure to remind folks if you're their grandparents or something and you don't see them, make sure they know. I think most folks ought to know, but we will meet next week at First Lutheran starting at 4. And then in a couple of weeks, on the 15th, Saturday, we're going to go to a football game at Lenoir Ryan for their Lutheran Youth Day, and we're going to do that with groups from other Lutheran churches in the area. I think there's 4 or so churches that are going to go together. So if you went to the gathering with us in Houston this summer, it'll be some of the same folks that were riding the bus with us. So I need to know if you're going to be going probably by tomorrow, so send me a text or an email or call me or something and just say, hey, I'm definitely in, so that we can plan for those numbers. On the 23rd of September, we're going to have what we've decided we're going to call Fellowship Sunday. We've called this Homecoming before, and sometimes we have a homecoming service where we really reach out and try to get folks from the past who have been a part of this congregation to join us. And lately, we really haven't done that kind of reaching out. And so we thought, why would we not just call this what it is? Let's call it Fellowship Sunday. We're all going to have a potluck afterwards. We can still have a homecoming service some years, but recognizing that that's not what it's been. Last year wasn't that, and it's not going to be that this year necessarily. Let's just call it what it is, and if we're interested next year, we maybe will reach out and call it a homecoming. But for this year, come eat with us and bring some food on the 23rd is the invitation. Did want to share a few thank you notes this morning, then I may have another announcement or two. Norris, if you wouldn't mind.
Eugene Queen writes to the congregation, thanks to Pastor Matt and Holly Grove Lutheran Church members for all the kindness and support in many ways to Betty, me, and my family during the lengthy illness and ultimate loss of the love of my life for over 51 years. That's from Eugene. And Karen Powers and family writes, dearest Holly Grove Lutheran Church congregation, my heartfelt thank you for all the prayers and well wishes for my mom, Elizabeth Jarrell Dietrich, Lib, during her illness and for your compassion and kindness after her passing. Thank you to those of you who were able to attend her service. It meant so much. And then finally, from John Payne, thank you so much for the scholarship I was awarded this year. It will be a major help in my educational plans. I'm immensely grateful for your continued support. That's it.
Was talking with Lori Cecil this week, and we were just talking about the ways that this congregation has really walked with her family through a lot of joy and a lot of sorrow. And they wanted to share some joy with you that's in their lives this week. They wanted to share it this week. But they're going to be expecting a little boy in February. So please keep them in your prayers. Lots and lots of excitement, a little bit of nervousness, as you might imagine, and there's going to be plenty of opportunities for you all to help support them in the coming days, so we look forward to that. But pray for Mama and for that little boy. It's an exciting time. Yeah, it's an exciting time. We want to wish a happy birthday to some folks this morning. Happy birthday to Stacy, to Keely, to Jana, and to Amy. And we don't have any anniversaries that we know of. Anybody have any to add that we ought to pray for this week? Let's pray for those folks. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We stand as our worship continues on page 94. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Let us pray. Gracious God, throughout the ages, you transform sickness into health and death into life. Open us to the power of your presence and make us a people ready to proclaim your promise to the whole world through Jesus Christ, our healer and Lord. Amen. Congregation may be seated. If the children will join me up this way for a children's message. Good morning, everybody. Come on up this way. Come join us. Have a seat. Have a seat. Hello. It's good to see you all this morning. I want to show you guys something. Can you tell me what this is? Has anybody ever used this before? Yeah? Okay, what is this? Hand sanitizer. Okay, what is this for?
Clean your hands.
To clean your hands. Okay, so like... if you had touched something that was kind of yucky, maybe, right, or your hands seemed like they were dirty, what would you do with this? You eat it? No, we do not eat this, right? No, what do you do with it?
You spray it on your hands and rub it.
I saw Brody rubbing his hands together over there. Yeah, that's exactly right. This is something we use to help clean our hands, and it's maybe more convenient than going to the sink sometimes, so that's why we have it around. But it cleans our hands, right? We're going to hear a story from the Gospel of Mark today where some people are talking to Jesus about the disciples not washing their hands. And Jesus doesn't have any problem with washing hands. Washing hands is good, right? When do we wash hands? Like before we eat, after we do some things, like if we go to the bathroom, we'll wash our hands, right? Or if you play in the dirt, you get your hands dirty. So we really like washing hands. Washing hands is good. But when Jesus is talking to these guys, Jesus is talking about something besides our hands that sometimes can be needing to be cleaned up. Jesus is talking about our hearts. Does this work on cleaning hearts? Does anybody know?
No.
No? No, that wouldn't make any sense, right? Because your heart's inside you. Jesus is concerned, though, with our hearts being clean too, not just our hands. How do you suppose we would clean our hearts? How would we have to do that?
We have to clean our bodies.
Clean our bodies is good, yeah, but unless we're going to do like some of the folks out here have had, and we open up our chest and go through and clean out our veins, no, that's not a very good idea. No, what do you think it means to have a clean heart?
To be honest and listen
to God. Okay, to be honest and to listen to God. Yeah, I think that's the kind of thing Jesus is talking about. Jesus, when he says have a clean heart, is talking about the things inside of us that come out and how we care for other people and what kind of actions we do, that if we are kind to other people and we take care of people when they are in need, those would be the kinds of things that would come from a clean heart. How do you think we clean our hearts, though? What if your heart needs a good scrubbing? That's kind of a confusing question, isn't it? Well, one of the things that we try to do to clean our hearts is to follow Jesus' commandments, right? To follow God's commandments. And where do we learn about those? We learn about those commandments in the Bible. So to read our Bible is helpful, right? To come to church is a helpful thing. To be among God's people. We have a table back here, and there's some food back here that we think helps clean our hearts. Does anybody know about that? What do we call that? Communion, that's right, Gracie. Yeah, communion back here is one of the things that we say brings forgiveness of sins to us and helps clean our hearts. It's Jesus coming to be with us. We eat that communion bread and drink that wine, which is the body and blood of Jesus, and Jesus is part of us and in us and helps to clean our hearts, okay? Jesus thinks it's a good idea to wash hands. We think it's a good idea to wash hands because sometimes our hands are dirty, right? But also, we need to be concerned with how we behave and how we act and how we treat other people, and that has to do not with our hands, but with our hearts. So we come to the communion table, we read our Bibles, we come to church to try to help us have clean hearts that treat other people in the ways that God will want us to treat them. Would you guys pray with me, please? Lord God, clean our hearts. Help us to treat people the way you would want. Amen. Thank you, everybody. If you want to go back to your seats now, you can go back to your seats. If you're going to be going to Children's Church will line up over there at the door.
A reading from Deuteronomy. So now, Israel, give heed to the statutes and ordinances that I am teaching you to observe, so that you may live to enter and occupy the land that the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving you. You must neither add anything to what I command you, nor take anything away from it. But keep the commandments of the Lord your God, with which I am charging you. You must observe them diligently, for this will show your wisdom and discernment to the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, "Surely this great nation is a wise and discerning people." For what other great nation has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is whenever we call to him? And what other great nation has statutes and ordinances as just as this entire law that I am setting before you today? But take care and watch yourselves closely, so as neither to forget the things that your eyes have seen, nor to let them slip from your mind all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. The word of the Lord. The psalm today is Psalm 15 and will be read responsively. O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? Who do not slander with their tongue and do no evil to their friends, nor take up a reproach against their neighbors. Who do not lend money at interest and do not take a bribe against the innocent. Those who do these things shall never be moved. The second reading is a reading from James. Every generous act of giving, with every perfect gift, is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of the first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. For your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves, and on going away, immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious, and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. The Word of God.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 7th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked Jesus, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines.' You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition." Then Jesus called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside of a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come: fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. There may not be any group in society more tied to their traditions than church folks, and I can prove it to you. How does the Lord's Prayer start? "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." "Excuse me? Dost thou pullest my leg? Verily, is it thine will to speak in such an outdated and cumbersome fashion, such that none art certain of thine intentions?" It's crazy, right? We don't talk that way. In fact, if you pull out your book and look through it, everywhere where the Lord's Prayer is printed, There's the contemporary version right beside the traditional version that we just were quoting from. The language is right there beside it, but do we use that contemporary version? No, of course not, we don't. Probably we should, but I suspect there'd be a revolt on my hands if we tried to make that change, right? Why? Why are we so tied to this antiquated language? It's tradition, right? Or how about this one? Does anybody come into church each week and think, where am I going to sit today? No, right? I can pretty much close my eyes and know where to find all of you in the traditional pews. Although there are some folks in the back who are throwing me off this morning. There must have been a plant. They knew I was going to ask that. And so the lures are sitting on the wrong row this morning. Or how about this one? Is it dark in here, especially this morning? Or can you all see okay? Yeah, no, it's not dark. We've got great windows all around, and there's LED lights and about all of these fixtures up here now. So what are we doing up here lighting candles? Why do we do that, do you suppose? Well, because that's the way things have always been done, of course. And let's not forget the people who light those candles, the acolytes. They're supposed to dress a certain way and march in according to a strict discipline and light a certain candle first. And if it doesn't happen that way, Aunt Mabel and the whole choir and Jesus will all gasp out loud and people will fall out of their seats, right? We could go on and on with these, right? Why do we wear robes? Why do we use an organ instead of a guitar or a harmonica? Why do we have pews in here instead of chairs? And the answer to a lot of those things at this point is tradition. Tradition grabs hold of us. And that's not always bad, right? Lighting candles can be a beautiful way to signal to us that we're entering into a different kind of space, that something new, something spiritual is going on here. Wearing a robe to lead worship has practical benefits, right? Because it lets all of you sitting out there know who the leaders are, right? Who do I need to watch this morning if I want to know what's happening and follow along with the service? It's the people who are dressed funny. And there's deep symbolism behind wearing a white robe, too. Because a white robe has been the baptismal garment since some of the earliest days of the church. So when we ask the question, who are going to be the leaders this morning? There's something profound in saying, well, it's the baptized folks, right? The folks who are dressed for baptism are the ones who are leading. Tradition, of course, is not bad in and of itself. The problem comes when tradition takes precedent over the mission that we share. And this is what's going on in the 7th chapter of Mark this morning that we heard. The Pharisees and the scribes from Jerusalem, these are the religious folks of the day, they're getting after Jesus about the fact that some of his disciples aren't washing their hands before they eat. And of course, washing your hands is not a bad thing, but it's also not, strictly speaking, a command in the Old Testament. It comes from this oral tradition that's been handed down by the elders in the faith, and it developed around a concern for ritual cleanliness. If you washed your hands, if you washed your food, if you washed your pots well and regularly, then it significantly reduced the chances that you'd come into contact with something that might make you ritually unclean, and it therefore reduced the chances that you'd have to separate yourself from the worship community. So this tradition developed over the years that folks would always wash their hands. And that's not bad. That's good hygiene. Please wash your hands when it's appropriate. But there is something else going on here. Because Jesus knows that these good religious folks, the Pharisees and the scribes, they're the ones who today we could count on to be in church every single Sunday. Jesus knows that they also were putting on a good show. They were making a big deal out of these traditions, but that many of them weren't actually honoring God. They were just giving God lip service. And Jesus goes into specifics about this. We didn't read all of these verses this morning, but in some of the ones we skipped over, Jesus brings up the fact that they were using loopholes in the religious tradition to avoid supporting their elderly parents financially. And that's just got to be wrong, right? It misses the point of what these other laws were supposed to be about, protecting relationships with each other and with God. And in being so concerned about washing hands, it totally blows past God's command to honor your father and your mother. So when the Pharisees call Jesus out, he pulls from Isaiah and the deep and rich Old Testament tradition of prophets who express displeasure with God's people, who are worshiping God in name and appearance, but who are flouting God's will by mistreating each other and worshiping other gods. Jesus quotes from Isaiah, "This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." And Jesus adds, "You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human traditions." In the church, we have some beautiful traditions. I love organ music. But when it comes to what we do as the gathered people of God, when it comes to our traditions, we have to look at everything in light of this question. Does what we do, does how we act, proclaim and honor the risen God? And if not, what are we doing? Because traditions we know can take on a life of their own. We can elevate them to the point that they lose their original meaning. And the risk becomes that the traditions can be idolatrous almost. Like, if we don't know what's happening, you could almost think we're up here worshiping these candles we're lighting or the furniture that sits in front of them. And that's why from time to time, traditions need to be examined, right? Reformed. It's how we Lutherans got our start. But we can't just coast on Martin Luther's work. We have to keep asking the question, does all that we do point to the gracious gift of life we have received in Jesus? And if not, maybe it's time to toss those things that don't and form new habits. I don't personally have anything against everybody sitting in the same place each week. But I do have to tell you, if a visitor to this church is asked to find somewhere else to sit because they're sitting in your pew, they're probably not coming back, right? We've lost the opportunity to preach the gospel to somebody. So if this ever happens to you, if there's ever somebody sitting in your seat when you get here, please don't ask them to move. Here's what you say. "Hi, I'm so-and-so. It's wonderful to have you with us today. I think we can all handle that." Jesus reminds us that we cannot afford to let worrying over our traditions impede the work of the gospel. And part of the work of the gospel is treating all people with love and dignity, not just preaching to them, but actually living out that love. We have something that's worth telling people about. It's a God who goes to ridiculous lengths to be with us, who dies to change the world and bring life to all creation, who meets us at the font and at this table, redeeming us, feeding us, and calling us to follow. We have a God who is worth worshiping, a God that it makes sense to trust with our lives. And sharing news, sharing word of God's love in the world, in word and deed, it's massively more important than our traditions. It's massively more important than our arguing. It's massively more important than even this charming house of worship we're gathered in. If we're using our energy on something other than the question, how can we follow this God more fully and invite others to join us, then we're worrying about the wrong things. James reminds us that there are enough orphans and widows in the world who could use our care. We know enough people in this community who desperately need to hear the good news. This is where our energy belongs. So would you pray with me this morning? Lord God, you bless us with the rich history and witness of our ancestors in the faith. Help us to examine our habits with a discerning eye, putting our energy and our resources in the places that proclaim your glory and point to your gracious love. Free us from the obligation of traditions that no longer serve you, and awaken us to the places we might honor you by serving others. Make us not merely hearers, Lord, but doers of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us join together in reaffirming our faith through the Apostles' Creed, found on page 105 of the hymnal. I believe in God, Father the Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Trusting in our loving and almighty God, who abundantly provides for all who hunger, let us pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Lord God, bless your church in every time and place, inspiring strength and courage in us to boldly proclaim you, but not only to be hearers of your word, but doers. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, we pray for your creation. We lift up and pray for all those who care for plants and animals who are in trouble, and all those who spend their efforts restoring places that are scorched by fire. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, we pray for all the faithful the world over. We pray for nations and their leaders. We pray for those immigrants and refugees forced to flee. We ask, Lord, that you would find them homes where they can be safe to live and to worship. Lord God, we remember all those who are brokenhearted or in need of healing. We especially lift up, Lord, Burnett, Jane, Marshall, Bobby, Jana, Harold, the family of Elizabeth, the family of Betty, Lydia, Gavin, Billy, Gracie, the family of David, Chuck, Brianna, Daryl, Wayne, Eddie, Tommy, Kathy, Noah, the family of Zeke, and all those we name now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, you have blessed us through the example of lives lived well in faith. We ask that you would help us to honor those who have passed this faith on to us by living lives not according only to tradition, but examining everything we do so that we can point faithfully to you in word and action. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty and loving God, we look to you in hope and trust, knowing that you will do far more than we can ask or imagine. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. We share a sign of Christ's peace. Thank you.
Let us pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts towards those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care, and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory.
Taste and see that the Lord is good. You may be seated.
Mercy, O God.
We stand. May the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as the bread for the hungry through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Say together our mission statement, which is on page 5 of your bulletin. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Go in peace. Serve the Lord.